Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Ksubas Daf Tzadi Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage, and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins practically in the middle of Daf Tes Tzadi Tes. You'll notice a diamond that appears, and it's also referred to as Roman numeral number 2. The Gemara in our previous shiur raised the issue of a shaliach, an agent that received instructions and executed his mission in a way that was different than the way he was instructed. In the previous shiur, in Roman numeral number 1, we saw a balabais, an owner, asking or requesting of an agent to sell property on behalf of the owner. And there, he instructed for a relatively speaking small amount of property to be sold, and he went and sold a larger amount of property. The Gemara, just at the end of our last year, concluded that that does not constitute an annulment or an abrogation of his original instructions, his original charge. Rather, he's considered moisif al dvarav. He's considered adding, but not a ma'avir al dvarav, not a violator. That's the previous year. Now, today's year picks up with a second issue, where as the first issue the Gemara maintained was actually clear, wasn't really the subject of a question. This is a question. Ki tiboy aloch, when the issue comes up of an agent, of a shliach, changing the orders he received, the Omar le zil zoven li kura, the balabayas instructed the agent to sell a kur. A kur in our is an area measure. The ozov zoven le lischani then, and he went and sold half the amount. My, what is the legal status of that sale where the shliach did less than he was charged with? And there are two parts of the question, two sides of analysis. Aleph, and a few lines later you see a squiggle underlined, O Dilma, or possibly Beis. Mi Amrinon, do we say, Omar Le, de Tovaloch Avdiloch, that the shliach can say to the balabayas, the agent can say to the owner, that I actually did something that was good for you. De'i lo mitztarchi loch zuzi, if it should turn out that you don't need all that money, in other words, from the sale of the entire piece of property, so lo motzis hadris bay, if I would have sold the entire piece of property, and then it turns out you don't need all that money, you wouldn't be able to back out. So what did I do? I happened to sell a smaller amount than you initially requested. You got, we'll say, the minimum amount of money. If you should be more, so go and sell the rest. But in the meantime, I didn't do you a disservice. If anything, I might have done you a potential favor. Oy Dilma, or maybe Omar Le, the balabayas can say, the owner can say to the agent, listen, if I have to sell more later on, that means I'll have to make a second contract with a second purchaser. Lo ni choli de lifshu shtori iluvoi. It's not pleasing to me to have so many documents that I've been signed on to. In other words, sale documents. In general, the less legal work that exists in your name, the better it is. That's the case over here. I would rather have had one shtar that represents the sale of the entire field than two shtaros representing the sale of the field in two parts. So the question has been asked, how do we view this action? We'll call the reduced action of the shaliach? Is he considered an execution of the orders, just in a reduced fashion, or a violation of the orders? And if it's a violation, so then the sale is no sale. Everything is off. Omar Rebbe Hanina Misura Toshma. So we attempt to answer that question. You'll notice we have a new marking on the side of the Gemara. We have a house shape, and we've indicated that these are Nisyonos Lifshod HaSheela. These are attempts to answer the question. So you have number one over here, and when we get to Omid Beis, there'll be a number two at the fifth line from the top. By the way, if you should be interested in accessing marked Gemaras, let us remind you that we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. So now we try to resolve the issue about the shaliach that functioned in a reduced fashion than that was that he was charged with. Toshma, Nosan lo dinar shel zahav. This is a source that comes from the realm of Mi'ila. Mi'ila is the prohibition of benefiting from sanctified items, prohibition of receiving personal benefit from items that were sanctified. Here we're talking about money, and it turns out that the money that is in question here happens to be money that had been sanctified. So and it was not known. We're dealing with something that was done b'shogeg, and a person gave his shaliach nosan lo dinar shel zahav. A dinar shel zahav, for our discussion, is six sela. We're dealing with different denominations of money, so a golden dinar is the same as six sela. The Omar lo, and he told the agent, Have li choluk. I want you to take this money and buy a choluk, a type of garment. V'holach v'hevi lo b'sholosh choluk u'b'sholosh talis. And the agent went and bought a choluk, but for three of the sloyim, the sela coins, and the other three sela coins, he bought a talis, another type of garment. Shnehem walu. Both are considered in violation of the Me'ila prohibition, using sanctified items for personal needs. I amres bishlam shliach ki haygavna oisa shilchuso u'moisiv al dvorav havei. If you say that an agent in this fashion is considered an agent where he did less than he was asked to do, it's still considered a maintenance or a fulfillment of his agency. And he simply, the Balabayas simply added to what he did. Mishum hochi Balabayas mual. Therefore, we can say that the original owner is also guilty. Elo yamris magri al dvorav havei. If you say that the agent, when not doing what he was instructed to do, but doing less, he's considered a violator. So he's basically voided or abrogated his agency. Amai moal, why would the Balabayas be guilty of Mi'ila when his will wasn't carried out whatsoever? So at this point in the Gemara, we feel that the agent who does less than he was charged with is considered a shaliach. He's not considered a violator. Now we have a new marking. You see a triangle, and on the side, this is explained as a ma'akav, because the triangle will appear in alternating directions. A ma'akav means an attempt to keep track of the back and forth, give and take style of Gemara. With the triangle facing up, that represents a dechia, a rejection of this particular conclusion. And if we reject the conclusion just had been that the shliach in doing less is not considered an abrogation of the agency. And if we dismiss this proof, so then we'll still be left, we'll at least be left with our question: how do we view a shliach that does less than that which he was charged with? The inverted triangle represents a kushya. Simun ha-ma'akav, the reason for keeping track of this back and forth style Gemara is miuad to is designed livchoin imadchio nishar ad seif amasumatan, to see if this rejection remains by the end of this give and take. So now we continue in the Gemara. Hocha b'mayaskinon, the case of the mi'ilah is the following. The Aisile Shoveshesh Bishalosh. What was the agent brought a chaluk that in fact was worth six. He just happened to get it at a good deal. So the Shliach did he full shlichus in this case. It's not comparable to our question. Our question had been, what is the status of a shlich that does less than he was charged with? Here, he did a full job. What was his original instruction? To get a choluk worth six. And he did. He brought back a choluk worth six. He just happened to get it at a good deal. The Gemara asks, "E hachi, if you're saying he did his shlichus, shlicha maimo, why in the source does it say that the shlich also is moel, is also a violator of mi'ilah?" Answer, a talis. Because he bought a talis, which is something the owner, the Baal HaBayis, did not order to begin with. "E hachi, eimo seifa." Now, if so, that he bought a talis, a choluk, that is, that was worth six as per his original instructions, and that he just happened to get a good deal on it. If that's the case, well, let's continue reading the source. Amos Seif will state the continuation, and it says in the source, Rav Yehuda Omer, Af Boze Baal HaBayis Lo Moal. Even in this case, the Baal HaBayis is not guilty of Me'ilo Shiocho Lomar. The Baal HaBayis can say, Choluk Godol Hoyisi Mevakesh, I sought out a large chaluk, ve'ato hevesali chaluk katan v'ra, and you brought me a small one and a bad one. My ra, what do you mean by ra? The Gemara says ra bedomim. So the Gemara is what happens structurally is that we quoted the Seifa to show that it can't be a case of the Shliach bringing a choluk that for a choluk worth six for a mere three sela that he paid for it, because otherwise why does the Gemara describe that as koton v'ra, that it's bad? What's bad? He got a fantastic deal. He paid three sela and got a full six sela choluk. So the Gemara's response to that is that my ra, what is meant by ra? Ra bedomim. Now, what does that mean, ra bedomim? The Gemara itself explains that. The Omar Lay, the Baal HaBayis says to the Shliach, after all, you seem to be getting like a really good deal. You paid three and got something worth six, but had you used the all six to buy a choluk like I instructed, e Isis li b'shis, had you brought for me a choluk by paying six for a choluk, kol shekein to have a shove tarti, sorry, then you would have been bringing me back something that would have been worth 12. In other words, if for paying three you got something twice the value, something worth six, so there was profit of three in that deal, had you used all six to buy a chaluk, you would have gotten something worth twice the six, namely worth 12. That would have been a profit for me of six, not just three in the chaluk. So at this point, We're maintaining the original dechia. If you follow the markings, you can see we're holding the last point we were holding with is the upright triangle, and the reason for that is that in this case of the shaliach having received the six sela to buy things, we see there a shliach carrying out his original orders to the last letter, and that's not going to be a source that's capable of dealing with our question of a shliach that did less. The Gemara continues and says, Daikonami. Daikonami means that by through careful reading, we will be able to show you that the word ra that Reb Yehuda used is ra in terms of money, less profit, not a description of the item as being inferior. Dekotoni, the following Tanaic source says, Moide Reb Yehuda, Bekitnis, Sheshnehem Walu. Reb Yehuda, who said that where the Shliach paid less money than he was asked to by the Balabayas, even though he brought him something back that was worth the original value that he was instructed to buy, Reb Yehuda there said the Balabayas is not Moyel because he has a taina, he has a claim against the Shliach. Reb Yehuda, though, will concede in the following case, in the case of kitnis. Kitnis is a type of legume, sheshnehem mualu, that both would have been guilty of me'ilah. The Gemara continues at the top of Omid Beis, shehakitnis besela v'kitnis bepruta. The kitnis is sold on a, we'll call it a per unit or per measure basis. Rashi at the top says, Shakitnis besela, he kitnis bepruta. Whatever amount you'll buy for a sela, you're going to get the same amount in a prorated fashion if you pay a much lesser amount of money, pruta. The fi cheshbon prutos besela. As it's all, we'll call it unit priced. Just because he bought more, lo mosli gabe, the vendor is not going to give you a discount. As the Gemara itself explains, be'asher demizavni bekani. We'll see more about that in the Gemara. So that in the case, what's the point right now? Reb Yehuda says that where a shliach doesn't use all the money that he was asked to for purchasing that specific item, so the Baal Abayis is not moyel, because the shliach is said to have caused a loss for the Baal Abayis. However, in a case of the purchase of an item that's not sold by estimate, but rather by unit, it's unit priced, there Rabbi Yehuda will agree that both the Shliach and the Meshaleach are Moyel. If we look in Rashi on the bottom of Omid Aleph, Daf Tzadites Omid Aleph, Rashi toward the end says, Deikonami, de Ra, de Gomar Yehuda, Ra Bedomim Komar. The word Ra that Reb Yehuda used in the case of the Choluk is a reference to not an inferior quality article or object that was purchased, but rather it has to do with lessened profits. Ubedaisi Le Shovishesh, where he, in fact, did what the shliach, the agent, did what the Balabayas instructed, and he brought a choluk worth six. The taimu k'amoran, and in accordance with what we said, midiktoni moide bekitnis, from the fact that Reb Yehuda, in the case of kitnis, concedes, dosum lo mosi lemeimar, there the Balabayas has no taina, he has no claim against the shliach to say, in the case of a sale of kitnis, it's the type of thing where the owner, original owner, who sent the agent to make the purchase, could not say, had you bought more of that item, I would have gotten even a better deal. That's not true. When you're buying these kind of items, many places they sell, let's say, peanuts by the pound. So it's not something sold by estimate. It's on a prorated basis. Whatever you pay for 10 pounds, you're going to pay 1/10 of that if you buy 1 pound. The Rashi at the top of Omid Beis says, "Shehakitnis besela, he kitnis bepruta." Whatever amount you'll get for a sela, you'll get that same amount prorated if you buy a pruta's worth. The fi cheshbon pruta's besela, The Mishum de Zovin Tfei, just because you bought a larger quantity, lo mosli gabe, you're not going to get a cheaper price. As the Gemara itself explains, the Asr de Mezavni Bekoni, where it's sold per Kona. Kona, as we'll just say, is a unit of measure. The Gemara. Hechidomi, what is the case of the kitnis sales? With the second line from the top, in lema ba'aser de mezavni b'shuma. If you're gonna think that we're talking in a community where it's sold through estimate, then hecha diyoyev le sela mosli gabei tvei. If the full sela was used to buy kitnis, that's you'd be getting a much larger amount than if you were to pay to pay a pruto's worth. So the more you get, the bigger the discount, the more you end up profiting if it's a case where you're dealing with an item sold by estimate. Omar Rav Papa. So Rav Papa explains, Be'asra de kaili b'koni. It's a place that they measure using the koni measure. The Omar le, kona, kona b'pruta. Every kona will cost you a pruta. So therefore, if you buy many prutas worth, or buy a sela's worth of stuff, you're not going to get a better deal. You're going to get the same amount of money will be paid as you would pay if you bought pruta after pruta after pruta's worth, adding up to that sela's worth of kitnis. So far, we still have our original question is outstanding. What is the din with regard to a shaliach that was ordered to sell a large amount and he ended up selling a lesser amount? So we quote from the Mishnah, Hoysa, that's Toshma, Hoysa ksuboso arba mea zuz, a woman had a ksuba of worth 400 zuz, Mocho lozeh b'mona v'lozeh b'mona, l'achron yofed mona v'dinar b'mona. The woman had sold several sales. Each one, she took a mona worth of property, and she got paid a mona. She got paid fair and square. And the last person she was dealing with when selling these parcels, this land, she sold yafe mona v'dinar b'mona. Now that would mean a piece of land worth a mona and a dinar for a mona. The last one's deal is off because she went over the allotted amount that she was allowed to sell in the first place. Because at that point she had gone over the 400 zuz. She was selling mona v'dinar. The first three sales were she got 100. That's a total of 300. The last sale, she sold a mona. That the mona alone would have put her at the 400 mark. But she sold a mona and a dinar. So that last sale, that's canceled. And the rest, the sales are kayam. Now, the havamina right now is that one large field was the subject of these sales. And it was sold to four people. The first sale, the sale to the first fellow, was an example of, she had instructions, she was an almona, she was selling to receive her ksuba of 400, so she was attempting to sell and get the full amount, and the sales ended up being sales of smaller amounts. So it's mevchina zoven li kura v'zoven le lisha. It's parallel to the case of a shaliach. Now she, in selling the fields, is working as a type of shliach. She's working as an emissary, we'll say, of the estate. Selling, of course, she's the ultimate beneficiary, but she's selling on behalf of the estate to pay for her ksuba. How much is her ksuba? It's 400 zuz. The first sale she made was a sale of 100 zuz. So she was given the charge of one large sale, and she ended up selling initially to the first guy a small sale. So charged with a large mission and ended up doing less. And what does it say in the source? That besides the last one where she went overboard, she sold too much property. All the rest, kulan michran kayim. All the rest, the sales stand. So that shows you that a shliach that does less than he was charged with, his efforts are binding. The Gemara rejects this. Kid Omar Rav Shisha Braid Rav Idi Bikatini, as Rav Shisha will say later on in the Gemara. Katini means it wasn't a large field that was sold in small increments, but rather it was Katini. Hochanami Bikatini. So too over here in our case it was Katini. We didn't explain what Katini is. Katini means separate four small parcels of land. Katini, from like word katan, small. It wasn't one large field where the initial sale was a fraction of the large field, which would have been parallel to our issue. No, not whatsoever. Rather, they were four separate fields. Rashi says, "Ve'ein ruyim l'odamecha." They weren't fit for one person. So that initially, when the sale was ordered, it was done with this in mind. It wasn't the case of a shliach doing a reduced sale. He was selling a small parcel to one of four people. And that's not considered selling a fraction of a large parcel, which would have been parallel to our question. So from this Gemara, we don't have a rock-solid conclusion regarding shliach that was given a charge to do a lot and ended up doing a fraction of it. As you can see, we have a slash mark indicating that which follows is a new trend of thought. On the side, we have a topic heading. Omar l'shliach mechor sodi l'echad. A man, an owner of land, says, "Sell my field to one." V'lo piresh. He didn't specify v'lo l'shnayim. When he said sell to one, he said sell to one, and he didn't spell out, "I want you to sell to one and not to two people." V'halach u'mochro l'shnayim. And the shliach went and, in fact, sold that field to two people. Ha'im akpeda delo nichole le'inish ribui shtoros. Can we say that the person's objection to having a lot of documents, multiple documents, when it could have been less, is that objection nechshav kepeda? Is that considered a reasonable type objection? And if it were, it would be considered an objection, even if it were not spelled out. Now the Gemara. Pshita, Omar, l'echad v'lo l'shnayim. It's simple to understand if an owner, in talking to an emissary or an agent, said, "I want you to sell a core of my fields to one, but not to two people." Omar Lay, he spelled out, "Lechad v'lo l'shnayim." I want you to sell to one and not to two. He revealed his objection. The Rashi says, "Pshita, Omar l'shlucho mecharli beis kur misadasi lechad v'lo l'shnayim." Rashi goes on, "Omar lechad v'lo l'shnayim. V'afilu im timsel omar zoven li kura v'zoven li l'scho michro kayim." Even if, as we dealt with in the previous sukkah, where we did not come to a conclusion, but even if you want to conclude where a man said sell a large amount and the shliach sold less, that the sale is binding, hacha botel. Here, it could be botel, voided. The goli daite, the kapid babushe shtari. Here, even though it's also a case like that where the shliach was told to sell the entire kur to one person, and he sold only a fraction of it to one person and the other fraction to the next person, that's a definite kpeda. Even though in the previous case we might end up saying that doing less is not a violation of the shlichus, but where the balabayas, where the owner spells out, "I don't want you selling it to several people," then the deal would be off if you say it's a kepeda, and that's what the Gemara is saying. It's a kepeda. So therefore, if the shliach sells it after being told sell it to one and not to two people, he ends up splitting the core and selling it to two people, the deal is off. Omar le le'echod stam omai. And here, this is the focus of our attention. That's why we've dashed underline this, so that as we go on in the sugya, we can focus on this point. Stam omai. He said, sell it to one. And he didn't say, but not to two. What is the din then? You have a machlokis. Rav Huna omar le'echod means v'lo lishnayim. When a person says sell it to one, he means sell it to one and not to two. He does not want to have many shtoros, many documents with his name on it. Rav Chisto v'rabo ba'rav Huna d'yamitshavayu le'echod v'afilu lishnayim le'echod v'afilu le'meo. That when a person says sell it to one, he's not saying to one and not to two, but sell it to one guy. That's the way people speak. Rashi says le'echad v'lo lishnayim. The lav urchayu d'inshi d'kapti. It's not regular. It's not the regular way of people to be makbid, to be restrictive. V'hai nami lo kopid. This guy also, he's not makbid if the field would be sold to two different people. Ela urcha lishduye hachi. It's the normal way of people to say, sell the field to a guy, to someone. It's the normal way of speaking. Ve'ihavi kopit havi meforesh le v'lo lishnayim. Had the person been objecting to the multiple fields, multiple sales, he would have spelled it out. So you have here, Rav Huna says you take things at face value. If he said one, he means one and not two. And the other two opinions, Rav Chisto and Rav Huna, say people, if they really objected, they would have spelled out their objection. But by saying one, that's simply the normal way of speaking, and it's not there to the exclusion of two or more. We have brackets here with a long bracket marking, following which you see the expression Toshma. And by the way, if you don't have a Mark Gemara, we want to remind you that if you wish to access Mark Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. The reason for these brackets is noted in a starred note in the margin where we've written Sibas HaSugrayim. The reason for this bracketing is HaToshma Shemofiachreim, the Toshma, the Gemara is bringing a proof after the bracketed section, Bo Lachria Bein Shtei HaDeos Shemuzkorim Kam. It's coming to settle the Machlokas that we had above, where we marked Aleph by Rav Huna and Beis by Rav Chisda. So the Toshma there is coming to resolve these two Deos. Which one is to be is more reliable? So our note says it's coming lahachria to settle the argument between the two deos shemuzkorim kan im yesh lahachshiv hakpeda shalafushe shtoros kikpeda ushliach shemochar lishnayim michiroso botel. Are we to say that the kpeda, when he didn't spell out his kpeda, his mindfulness, his objection, nevertheless is considered as if it were spelled out. And then if a shliach sold the field to multiple individuals, the deals would be off. So now that we've mapped out the overall structure of the Gemara, we continue within the bracketed section. Ikla Rav Nachman the Surah. Rav Nachman visited, he arrived in Surah. Surah is the name of a place. Oil Legabe, Rav Chisto, Verabo, Barav Huna. These names, I hope, are familiar. We just saw them four lines up. And these two gentlemen visited Rav Nachman. Omrule, they presented a question to him. Ki hai gavna mai? What is the din in this case where a balabaya says, sell to one? Is that a restrictive expression? One and not to two? Or not so. Omar Lahu, Rav Nachman answered them, Li'echod means V'afilu shnayim lecha afilu l'me'a. By the Baal HaBayis saying sell to one, he's not coming to exclude multiple sales. They asked Rav Nachman, Omru lei afagav detosh shliach, is the deal going to stick even if the agent sold in a mistaken way, namely he sold for too cheap? Omar lehu detosh shliach lo kamina. I never said anything about a shliach making a mistake. I simply explained that the word li'echad is not exclusionary, but to say that the sale will be binding, even if he undersold it, he sold it for too cheap, that I never said. The Gemara asks Omrulei, so they ask on him, Rabba Bar Rav Huna and Rav Chista ask back to Rav Nachman, there's no problem of overcharging when it comes to ground land sales, so that if you're answering us that if the a mistake was made, it was undersold, sold at less than its value, that the deal is off because the shliach made a mistake. Here you see that with regard to sales of karkos. Ono is a term referring to overcharging or undercharging, mischarging. But when it comes to land sales, that doesn't apply. So the Gemara says, when I say that doesn't apply, it means the prohibition of ripping someone off. Either the vendor is ripped off or the customer is ripped off. But that is not a problem when it comes to land sales. So that how then can Rav Nachman say that in the case of Tal Shaliach that there is the agency is canceled? The Gemara says, Hani mili hechel de Tal Baal HaBayis. When we say Eino lo lekarkos, that's when it was the owner himself that was involved in the sale. Aval Tal Shaliach, but if the sale was done through an agent, Omar Le, the owner, the Baal HaBayis, can say, L'skuni shedartich v'lo lavisi, I sent you the screen to make things good for me, but not to mess me up. So a shliach that sells too cheap, that kind of deal is off. From where do we know that a distinction can be made between the shliach and the homeowner, the original owner? Tisnan, we have a source that regards a shaliach. It says, "Ha'omer l'shlucho, say utrom." If you turn to an agent and say, "I want you to tithe my produce, the truma tithe," toreim kedas babai. So he should take off an amount that is what he perceives the Baal HaBayis, the owner, as giving. Had he himself been doing the tithing. Let's say you don't know what the mindset, what's the generosity level of the homeowner. Toreim bebeinonis, you give the average amount, echad mi chamishim, 1/50th of your harvest. Piches asora o hosif asora, these expressions mean, piches asora means he gave 1/40th, or he tithed 1/60th. Trumaso truma, the tithing is binding. So that's with regard to a shaliach. V'ilu gabi Baal HaBayis tanya toram v'olo biyodo afilu echod me esrim trumaso truma. If the owner himself tithes and he took out an amount and declared that amount truma, it turns out that he took out 1/20th. When your basic truma is 1/50th, he took much more. He says tithe separated much more than he had to. Nevertheless, the truma is binding. It becomes truma. At this point, we go back to the issue of multiple shtaros against or concerning an individual. Is that considered a detriment to him? Toshma, hoisok subosa arba meizus. Woman had a ksuba worth 400 sus. Mochro loze b'mona v'loze b'mona. L'achron shov b'mona v'dinar b'mona. Shel achron botel v'shel kulon michron kayom. The last sale where she went beyond the 400 zuz worth of property, the last 100 that she sold was 100 plus a dinar. She went over the limit. So that deal is off. However, all the previous deals, the first three purchases, michron kayam, it says. Now, what do we see from here? If it were so that multiple shtaros is considered something that a person is generally makpid on, generally objects to, so why were the earlier sales binding or lasting? Are they also not a violation of an assumed person's stance? The woman had a ksuba of 400, and ostensibly she had one piece of land to sell worth 400, and she ended up selling it a little to this, a little to that, a little to this one, a little more to that one, resulting in multiple shtaros. And as far as we can see, that is not a problem. So if we were to stop here, we would then be able to resolve the issue raised at the beginning of this section of Gemara, where you said to an agent, I want you to sell to one. If he were to go and sell to multiple people, is that a problem? We would say no, that's not a problem, because this concept of afushi shtora is not a real kepedo. It's not really something objectionable. We take a look at Rashi. Toshma hoisok subasu v'chule v'i afushi shtori kepedo hi. If abundance, overabundance of deeds, of documents with a person's name on it is something that's objectionable, nihinami diyasoimim lo gilu datayu, granted, in this case of the woman of the almona selling properties of the yasoimim, and granted they didn't reveal their feelings, anan miha diyad yasoimim bo'inon lemehve, we, however, the court, we're considered the extension of the yasoimim, is lon lemeimar, we should have declared michron botel, that all of those multiple sales of that one field of the, i.e. field sold in small parcels, small parcels of one contiguous parcel of land, that should have been something to be objected to. The Gemara responds and says, no, from this you cannot see evidence of a shliach that was told to do to one and did to many that there is what to be objected to, because this case of the ksuba worth 400 and these multiple sales, Omar Rav Shisha Breid Rav Idi Bektini, they were small separate parcels of land. They couldn't have been sold, or they weren't fit to be sold to one person. Of small parcels of land in different locations. Generally speaking, people don't like to have their land split up into different locations. So one person never would have bought these four pieces of land. They were designed from the outset to be sold to four separate people. So this does not help to illustrate our question, the issue that we dealt with, is afushi shtora really something that would constitute a really objectionable situation. We continue with the Mishnah. The Mishnah deals with assessment of property values and the assessment turning out to be inaccurate. Shum hadayonim shepichasu shtus oy hosifu shtus, a court estimation where there was a devaluation of a sixth or an overpricing, an overvaluation of a sixth, michron botel, a sale done by the court where there was a variation, a discrepancy in the actual value, either up or down, of a sixth, that kind of sale will be void. Rav Shimon Leomer, Michron Kayom, in Kain, Ma Koyach Bezdin, Yofe. Rav Shimon Leomer says, even though there is this discrepancy, since it's court, it's a court sanctioned sale, it's a court ordered sale, if we were to void it, we would be minimizing or mitigating the strength of the court. And we don't want to do that. We want to preserve the strength and the dignity of court decisions, even at the expense of such a major, we'll say, discrepancy in value. Aval im osu igris bikuris beinehem afilu mochru shove mona b'mosayim or shove mosayim b'mona michron kayom. If, however, the land was subjected to a public auction, that's igeris bikuris. Is without translating that literally, it means a public auction. Then whatever price was paid for it, even if the item was objectively, let's say, worth 100 and 200 were paid for it, or it was objectively worth 200 and the public decided they're going to pay only 100 for it, the deal stands. So that it's the end of this Mishnah would be a continuation of the Tanakama, who said that a basic discrepancy of a sixth of a, let's say, a court estimation where they turn out to be off by a sixth, the mecher is batel. But if it's something, if it's a sale that was subject to public to a public auction, then whatever price is paid, the sale is binding. So the Mishnah focused on court-based sales. What about a sale done by an agent, a shaliach? The topic heading that introduces this piece of Gemara is a she'ela question is raised. Eich nidon shliach shetah? How should we view a shliach that makes a mistake? Kedayonim she'efshir tos ad shtus u'mechiroson kayemes? Do we say that he also, if he makes a mistake up to a sixth, the deal is still binding? Or do we say that a shlich is kalmona shebetois koldehu michra batel? Or like the sale of an almona, and we saw numerous examples of that in previous shiurim, where the mona sold a piece of land worth a mona and a dinar for a mona. We saw that, for example, and we saw that it was off. The deal was off, even with a slight discrepancy. Now the Gemara, Ibaya Lahot, the question is, a shliach keman. How about a shliach if he makes a mistake? Do we view him like an almona making a mistake? Is he considered simply an extension of the almona, and even on a minor discrepancy, the deal would be off? Or is he viewed as the sale done by judges, and there he'd be given leeway up till a sixth? The answer to how to view a shliach is a point of controversy. Rav Omer Rav Nachman Shliach Kedayonim, Rav Shmuel Bar Bistoma Rav Nachman Kelmona, and the Gemara goes over these shitos, noting, by the way, that, and you can see that with our markings, you've got diamonds around Rav Nachman. These highlight the fact that there are two deos within Rav Nachman regarding the shliach that makes a mistake. Is he like a dayonim? Is he like judges, where the deal is not voided with a minor error? Or is he like an almona, where the deal even is going to be canceled even if there is a mere minor discrepancy in value? The Gemara continues. Rav Amar Rav Nachman Shliach Kedayonim. We're on the third line from the top of Daf Kuf Amud Aleph. The Shliach is viewed as Dayonim. Ma Dayonim Lav Lidithu. Just like in the case of a court sale, they're not selling something for their own benefit. They're selling something for someone else, for the benefit of the Almona, let us say, to receive her Ksuba. So just like the Dayonim represent a sale not for themselves, Av Shliach Dami Lav Lididei, so too the Shliach is conducting a sale, but it's not for himself. La Fuke Almona, to the exclusion of the Almona, de Lidida, where she's functioning working on her own behalf, for herself, for her own benefit. So that if you're looking for a parallel to a shaliach, according to Rava in the name of Rav Nachman, the parallel would be to Dayanim, and hence there would be quite a bit of leeway in terms of a discrepancy in actual value of items sold and amount paid. Rav Shmuel bar Bisnamar Rav Nachman, Kelmona, Malmona Yechida, Af Shaliach Yochid. According to Rav Shmuel, the parallel to a shlech would be the Almona. Just like the Almona is an individual, so too the shlech is an individual. La Fuke based in the Rabban Minut, as to the exclusion of the court, which is a multiple a person entity. The Hilchasa, Shliach Kalmona. The Gemara rules that the Shliach is like an Almona with his very tight restrictions, namely that even a minor mischarge will be grounds for voiding the deal. The Gemara asks, Umay Shno Mehodisnan, what is different about what is the difference between your ruling that a shliach is like Almona and that which we've learned in the following Tanaic source, wherein it appears that we're not so restrictive with regard to a shliach and his and a deviation. Disnan ho'imelu shlucho, a person turns to his agent and says, Tseu trom, I want you to tithe the truma tithe, separate the truma tithe on my behalf from my produce. So, Torem Kedas, Balabayas, the shliach should tithe the amount that the owner would have tithed. Vim eino yodea dai toshel balabayas, if the shliach doesn't know what the amount the balabayas, what percentage the balabayas would have tithed, Torem, pebeinu nesechot mechamishim, he should do the average truma tithe, which is 1/50. Piches asora, hosif asora, if he tithes 1/40 or 1/60, truma so truma. Now, we've dashed underline this to highlight the main problem. You see here a shliach varying, possibly a little bit, tithing a little bit more than a 50th or a little bit less than a 50th. Nevertheless, what he's done, his tithe is good, it's binding. So if this be the case, how can you conclude earlier that when it comes to shliach sales of property, it's going to be he's going to be treated with the almona standard? The Gemara answers, Hasam, in the case of truma tithing, the piches asora or hosif asora isn't considered a discrepancy to begin with. Kevon deiko determined by in rov, iko determined by in yofe, since amongst the general population there are people that are miserly, ayin raw, miserly types in with regard to their tithing. They'll take off only 1/60. And there are those that tithe with an attitude of magnanimity, of generosity, ayin yofe, 1/40. Omarle, the shaliach, can say to the owner, lahachi amadatich, I estimated that you were like that. In other words, I did exactly what I perceived you to have intended. No deviation whatsoever. Avol hacha, but in the case of a shliach mischarging in the sale of properties, ta'usa hu. There is a mistake. Might be a minor mistake, but it's a mistake. Omar le, the owner will tell him, lo ibaya loch lemiti, you should not have made any mistake. So there's a distinct difference between the truma case and the Gemara's ruling concerning a shliach. In the truma case, there was no mistake. In the shliach sale, that where there was a deviation, a mischarge, there was a mistake, and the owner did not set up the agent with any intention of a mistake being made, something certainly that would be detrimental to the original owner. As the Gemara continues, it will deal with the issue of the machlokes between the Chachomim versus Rav Shimon ben Gamliel that we saw in the Mishnah concerning a mischarging or a mischarging in a sale conducted by the Beis Din. Mir Sashem, that will be the point at which our next year will continue. In the meantime, though, before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.